a deacon is anything but selfish, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. There are two words in the Greek, and I'll write them up here on the board for you if you want. Some of you know what the Greek is, you can read a little of it. Okay, diakonia. That means the servant. And here is diakono. And that means the person. Okay? That's doing the service. That's what we're going to talk about today, the deacons. Deacons. Diakonos, the person doing the work, and diakonia, the work. Diakonos is masculine. Diakonia, of course, is feminine. Talking about the service or the work that they are doing. And as we study this word, by the way, the word diakonia, or what we call deacon today, is not translated many times in the Bible. It's transliterated from the Greek into the English, okay? Now, the original Bible was written in Koine Greek. And all the Bibles that we have today, they're not in Koine Greek, are just translations of that. But in most places, you'll find the word in different places in the Bible is just translated deacon. And deacon is not a translation. It's transliteration. They just brought it right straight from the Greek to the English. Now, it means something. Literally, it means a through service. Dia means through, and konia means service. Okay? It means a service or a ministry, something that someone is doing. Literally, it means to stir up with dust, to stir up the dust with your heels, or to stir up dust while hastening. And Brother Dale back there, he has a nickname on the CB radio, and I call him Dust Kicker. He's a deacon. And literally, deacon means dust kicker. And that's what a deacon ought to be, is a dust kicker. Now, they ought to kick the right kind of dust. You've seen little kids walk up and kick dust in people's faces, haven't you? Or pick up dirt. Now, we were up in Lancaster the other day, and there was one little girl up there that was in love with dust. She was. Now, that's true, isn't it? There was one little girl up there just loved dust. Little red-headed girl. And she run around grabbing double hands full of dust all the time and throwing it at other little kids. And she had this one little boy backed up into this camper. And every time he'd stick his head out to come out, she'd get him just like that. He was dust. Now, that's not the kind of dust we're supposed to be kicking, brethren. I used to work in the oil fields and in refineries and everything, and there was an old term that they used to use. Why don't you go out and stir up a little dust? And that means to get to work. Stir up a little dust. And that term came from this word right here, deacon. Now, they may not have known where it came from, but it came from the word deacon, stir up dust. Stir up dust by doing something. It means one who executes the commands of another. It also means a servant, a slave, an attendant, a minister, or a waiter. You know what a waiter is? That's one of the guys running around waiting on tables. The word deacon means that also. In profane Greek, and the word profane Greek, that's a high term for some of you, I don't know, for even me. It means normal Greek that they used in regular writing back in that period of time. In normal Greek, not written in something besides the Bible, the word diakonia usually meant a servant of a king. A servant or a minister of a king or to a king. That is a very high type of servant, isn't it? A minister to a king. We found out in the book of Nehemiah that Nehemiah was a minister, a deacon to the king, wasn't he? It means one who advances another's interest in sacrifice of his own interest. One who advances another's interest in sacrifice of his own personal interest. One who promotes the welfare and prosperity of the church where he is a member. That is a deacon. Now, all of these terms that we've used so far do not apply literally to the office of a deacon. They apply to every one of you. In the New Testament, there are many words translated, deacon and ministry, from this word. And we're going to find out today that everyone in this church is a deacon. In that sense, a servant. But also, there is an office or a place of service that is set aside and ordained of God in His New Testament churches. It says here, it is an ordained place of service or an office in a New Testament church. A deacon, it's a place of service. A place of honorable service. One who, by virtue of the office assigned to him by a church, cares for the poor, and has charge of and distributes the money collected for this use. Now these are the terms, come from the term deacon today. Now you're going to be very surprised at some places where the word deacon is used. The first place in the Bible where the word deacon is used in the New Testament, and it's not really the oldest place, because, you know, different books were written at different times, but in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, and verse 40. Luke 10 and verse 40. Let's look at there. We'll get the whole context and go from 10 through verse 42. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now this is taking place in Bethany. It's just across from the city of Jerusalem on the back side of the Mount of Olives, or on the lower side of the Mount of Olives. But Martha was cumbered about by much deaconing. That's what it says, literally. Deaconing or serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to deacon alone or to serve alone? Now I want to tell you something, brethren. In this case right here, every one of us are deacons. Every one of us are to take and administer for our King, our Lord, our Master. Every one of us, we have a job to do. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We have two women here doing two different types of services right now. One was learning, and one was serving. Do you know that before you can teach a class, you must learn something to teach them? And in learning, you are deaconing. You're serving the Lord while you learn. That's right. We find the woman is called a deacon here, or literally, a servant of God. She's not an ordained deacon. This woman was not an ordained deacon at all. But she was a servant of God. And each and every one of us are servants of God. Paul called Timothy a deacon. Timothy was a pastor of a church, wasn't he? The church at Ephesus. He was a pastor. He had the gift of an evangelist also. So the Bible is completed. But Paul calls him a deacon in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 2. Now you can just write that down someplace. If you have a pencil, piece of paper and a pencil, I cannot go to all these verses today. No way. And read them, I'd be here till 1 o'clock, and our food would be spoiled by then. And I know you don't want that. So I'm just going to give you these verses, and you go back and look them up later. Paul called Timothy a deacon. Now, Timothy was a servant, wasn't he? He was an administrator in one of the Lord's churches. He was a servant to God's people. In that case, I am a deacon also. I'm a servant of you today. But not as the term or the office of a deacon. I don't play that part. Thirdly, Paul calls himself a deacon. Now, Paul calls himself a deacon in several places. In Colossians 1 and 23. In Acts 20, 23 and 24. Romans 15 and 31. And Romans 12, 3 through 8. Paul calls himself a deacon. Let's turn to the last scripture there, Romans 12, 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same, what, office? Okay, not the same work to do. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one another. Having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us for the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry. Look at that. Ministry. Let us wait on our deacon, it says, let us wait on our deaconing. Or he that teaches on teaching. Now every one of us, brethren, and Paul includes himself, our deacons in that way. We're servants. We should be dust kickers for the Lord. We should be stirring up dust. We should be busy about the master's service, as the Bible says. We ought to be busy for the Lord. Paul calls Epaphras a deacon in Colossians 1 and 7. He calls this man a deacon in Colossians 1 and 7. Did you know that Judas Iscariot was called a deacon also? The word. In Acts 1, 17 and verse 20 and 25 also. Acts 1 and 17. We better turn there because some of you look doubtful. For he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this deaconship, or ministry. Okay? Service is what it means. Deaconship or service. And verse 25, and he's talking about Judas Iscariot here. And verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now, Judas did not fall from salvation, by the way. He was a lost man all the time. Lost all the time. But Judas had a job to do. Judas failed in his job, didn't he? How many of God's people have failed in their job for the Lord? How many? How many of God's people have failed like Judas failed? Now, Judas had an excuse, didn't he? Judas was a lost man. But what about us? We don't have excuses to fail. God also calls Mark, or God calls himself a deacon through Mark's own words in Mark 10 and 45. Mark 10 and 45. Jesus calls himself a deacon there. He said, I am a servant. I am a true servant. I am a dust kicker for you. I'm going to tell you something. If you study the life of Jesus Christ, you'll find that he did stir up some dust. He lived a perfect life and he served mankind all the time, every time. All of his life, every breath that he breathed for you and I. Jesus said that whoever would be great among his disciples would be a deacon. In Matthew 20 and verse 26. Matthew 20 and 26. Remember the disciples, they wanted to be great? You know, we tease each other down to school. Every now and then we'll take off one another's coats or something and we say we want to be greatest in the kingdom. I remember reading a book one time of a Catholic priest, Charles Chantecoy, in his book. And this one priest wanted to be greatest among them. And he
And you know, you can go crazy over this business.
And this priest was a nut. First of all, I believe he needed to be saved before he could ever serve anybody, including the Lord. Anyway, they were eating dinner at this long table in this monastery, and Charles Tenequi was there. And he sat down at his little place like this, and he was having the blessing over his food. And all of a sudden, something grabbed both of his feet and started licking on them. Boy, I mean, he jumped up in there and squalled and screamed. He thought a demon had him or something. And he looked down, oh, that's his father so-and-so. He's going through his humility. He was licking his feet clean, you know. Stupidity. Brethren, we're not to be stupid in the Lord. We have a place of service. A service to do, but we should do it reasonably. God never wanted us to be nuts. He wanted us to be reasonable. He said He gives us a sound mind whereby we can serve Him. Jesus said the one that would be great among His disciples would be a deacon, would be a servant of the others. Paul calls the ones who receive spiritual gifts in the churches, he called them deacons in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 5. Paul also calls the Holy Spirit a deacon in 2 Corinthians 3 and 8. Calls the Holy Spirit a deacon. Is the Holy Spirit a servant to us today? Well, isn't He? And who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. You know that God is your servant today? Think about that. It ought to humble your mind just a little bit better. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit indwells you, each and every one of you that are saved? And He is your servant? To stay there all of your life and to convict you into right and wrong, and those that are members of New Testament churches, the Comforter has come since the day of Pentecost to lead God's churches. He's servants in them. He's a leader in the Lord's churches. He's also a servant to us today. Preachers were called deacons in Acts 6 and 4. They were called ministers. Paul calls Phoebe, a woman church member at Centuria, a deacon. Many people go nuts over this one. Let's turn to Romans 16 and 1. They say this woman was ordained a deacon. This woman was not ordained a deacon. This woman was a minister. We have many good deaconesses in this church, so to speak, in this way. But we don't have any ordained, neither are we going to ordain any. Because the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. We're going to find out the qualifications of a ordained deacon, or the office of a deacon here in a little bit. In Romans 16 and 1, he said, I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a deacon, or a servant of the church which is at Centuria. This woman was a servant. What kind of servant was she? Like many of you women here that have given your lives. You know, there are women in this church that I can depend upon. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to go out and grab them by the ear and try to drag them into doing something. You know, it's a pitiful thing when you have to grab a church member and say, get in here and do this. Come on, get here. I don't like to ride cowboy over you. A true servant, you don't have to cowboy. Or you don't have to punch. You know, I used to ride bulls and rope steers and things like that and these rodeos and places where they rope cattle and everything, roping arenas, whatever you want to call them. And I used to cut cattle through there and get them in the chutes and get them ready. And they had a little thing in there about this long or whatever. They called it a hot shot. And every now and then, a steer or a cow would lay down, and you couldn't get them up. You'd reach in there, and you'd kick them a little bit, and punch them with a stick, and they wouldn't get up. Well, this little hot shot had batteries all in it, and it made a lot of electricity. And you punched them with that thing, and I mean, they started falling and started moving. Sometimes that's what people have to do to get God's people to do anything. Punch them with a hot shot. Brethren, you shouldn't have to be hot-shotted to do something for the Lord. You ought to have a will in you. You ought to have a desire to serve the Lord. Somebody shouldn't have to run out and put a collar on you and drag you into serving the Lord. You ought to want to. Basically, I just don't do it. I have a lot of people sometimes tell me, well, what can I do? If they wanted to do something, they wouldn't have to ask me that question. Really? Can't you look around this church house and are in our meetings and find something to do? Somebody that is really wanting to, something to do doesn't ask you, what can I do? They're already doing something. They're already wanting to teach the class, mowing the lawn, cleaning the church house. While we have a sign-up sheet back there for the church members to come and clean the church house ever so often. Some of you never sign up. And I am not going to grab you by the neck and make you either. But you're missing a blessing by not doing it. Some of you have never even tried to teach a class. You know why? Because you don't want to. Don't tell me you can't do it, because anybody can do it. At least you can be a helper, and we need a lot of helpers. You can deacon in this church. That's true. We're going to have a building project pretty soon. They're going to pay plenty of deacon work out there to do. But guess who's going to do most of it? The deacons. Who are the deacons? Those that will serve. Isn't that right? That's right. You can do something. Well, I'm a woman. I can't drive a nail. Well, you can cook a sandwich, can't you? Or make one. For those that are. Sure. We can have some good fellowship in that, some good deaconing together as we serve the Lord. Paul called this woman, Phoebe, a deacon. She was a servant of the church. Paul could have called Priscilla and Aquila deacons also, but he used another word. Synergo is the word he used. That means to work together. A deacon works together with other people. You know, one of the worst words when a pastor comes to a church that he's going to pastor, he says, how many deacons do they have? They're hoping they'll say none. But I want to tell you something, brethren. Deacons, real deacons, are a pleasure to work with. If a deacon is not deaconing, then he's not a deacon and he ought to be undeaconed. Just as plain as that. Isn't that right? That's true. If a person is not a deacon, in practice he ought not be a deacon in office. It's as plain as that, and the Bible teaches it. In studying the word deacon, we conclude that each member of a New Testament assembly is to be a deacon in service. But the Bible also speaks about a deacon as an office or a special leadership in New Testament churches. And that's a different subject altogether. In Acts 6, 1-7, it explains what a deacon is to do. Acts 6, 1-7. Let's read this. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily serving. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Now he's talking about the preachers here. He said we shouldn't have to leave the word of God, study the word and the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. As they had fellowship dinners together in this church. And remember, at this period of time, What was the church service centered around? A meal. They had a great big dinner, and that's what the church service was centered around at this period of time. These people came every evening and ate together, and they would preach the Word of God together. In some places in the United States, among missionary Baptist churches, they practice a Wednesday night fellowship church meeting, where they come together and everybody brings a pot of food, and they get together and they have service. Or they, first of all, they have dinner, then they have services, and they have the men's and the women's meeting, and the children have their meetings they go to after the service, or before the service, and then they have the regular service. There's nothing wrong with that. And we might even do that sometimes here, and it wouldn't be anything wrong with it. But this is what was taking place here. The preachers were having to wait tables. They were waiters. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you, seven men, honest. Listen to this. These are qualifications of a deacon. Honest, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And they, when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I think I'm trying to catch a cold or something. My voice wants to quit constantly. Well, when deacons are ordained in a church should multiply. Isn't that right? You know what happened here? Now we find out that thousands were added to this church. We may not add thousands, but I want you to think back a while. This church ordained a couple of men a couple of years ago, and the church has multiplied. Hasn't it? You know why? I believe because we did exactly what God told us to do. We found men that were deacons already, and we ordained them to the position, to the place of service. An honorable place. Gave them something to do. They were already doing many things. Already deacons for many years. And God blessed us. God has blessed them in the work that they have done. He blessed this church here. In 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, we find out the qualifications here of a deacon. Now, this is talking about a person that is ordained. Not someone that's just serving, not a regular church member, but a special place of service. Verse 8 begins, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, not money-hungry, in other words. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. They ought to study the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. You know that deacon ought to be able to preach if he has to. Isn't that right? You study the Word of God and find out. Those deacons back there preach. They preach the Word of God as they went. And even these deacons here and different services, when I've been sick or something, guess what? They preach. They can do it. They ought to be able to do it. They ought to know what the mystery of the faith is. They ought to know what the Word of God teaches. And let those also first be proved, then let them use. The word first be proved there, they need to be deacons in the beginning. That's right. A person, before you ever ordain him to the office of a deacon, he ought to be a deacon already. In work and in service. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave and not slanderers. Now, wives and deacons, how many of you ever, this dawns upon you, the solemnity, the responsibility that you have? Do you know that you're supposed to be different from the rest of the ladies in the church? Because God has set you and your husband aside for something higher and greater. You have a place of respect and responsibility in the Lord's church. Isn't that right? Right. You have to agree to that. The Word teaches it. They wouldn't say it if it didn't. Even must their wives be grave and not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Deacons have a job too. We've seen many, many qualifications for a deacon. Let's go look back over them just a moment. First of all, 1 Timothy 3 and 12 tells us the deacon must be a male, a man. You cannot ordain a woman deacon. It says here at 3 and 12, they must be a male, a man. Okay? There's reasons for that. You study the rest of the Bible, and you'll find out that a woman cannot even teach over adult men in the Lord's churches. There's a reason for that. He said, because why? He said, Paul said, I will not permit a woman to teach. Now, I didn't say she couldn't teach classes, did it? Couldn't teach her children, couldn't teach other children, young people. Why was the reason that Paul said, I will not permit a woman to teach? You go look it up. Reason. There was a reason for it. It began back in the book of Genesis. And the Word of God agrees from Genesis to Revelation. It really does. A deacon must be in control of his family. 1 Timothy 3 and 12 again. He must be honest and trustworthy. 1 Timothy 3 and 7. He must be willing to be controlled and led by the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 6 and verse 5. He must be doing the job of a deacon before he is ordained a deacon. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 10. He should be able to preach. A deacon, if he is a good deacon, can be eligible for special rewards in the kingdom of God. Think about that for a while. A deacon, if he is a good deacon, can be eligible for special rewards in the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 13. For they have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good reward or degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. A great reward. Special reward for dedicated service to God. Brethren, we have two good deacons. And I am thankful to God that we do have them. They stand behind me, and I try to stand behind them. They follow the Lord and do the Lord's will in their lives. And they were deacons before we ever ordained them. And we have other men here that are eligible for deacons too. They meet these requirements. Servants of God. In concluding this message today, I want to admonish you, each and every one of you, to be good deacons. To be good deacons. Each and every one of you ought to be a servant of God. We ought to have the matters and the interests of our God, our King, above our interests. We ought to serve the Lord. You know, the last place in the New Testament where the word deacon is used is in Revelation 2 and 19. And he said there, into the church of Thyatira, I know your service. God knows the service of this church here in Beckerfield. He does. He knows your service. He knows what you are doing for God, and you ought to stand up for the Lord. You ought to live for Christ in your life. You know, Paul told Timothy to preach in season and out of season. Now, what in the world does that mean? When it's easy to preach and when it's hard to preach. We also ought to serve God in our lives when it's easy to serve the Lord. And it's easy to serve the Lord here this morning, isn't it? But brethren, you're going to find times in your life when it's going to be hard to serve the Lord. Hard to make a stand for Christ. And even if it's hard, you do it anyway. You do it anyway. Colossians 4 and verse 17. Paul the Apostle calls Archippus a deacon, or a minister, or a servant. And he says, I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry or the deaconship. To the ministry. Think about that. Which you have received in the Lord that you fulfill it. Each and every one of you today that are here have a service to do to God. You really do. Each and every one of you that are saved and members of this church have a place of service in the Lord. Now I want to talk a moment to those that are lost. How do you know if you're lost? Well, I'm going to ask you a simple question, okay? You give me a simple answer. Or you give yourself a simple answer. Are you saved? Here is the question. Have you repented of your sins and asked Christ to save your soul and forgive you? Have you done that? Have you personally prayed to your God? I remember Brother Ray and Sister Carol when they first came here. Somebody went to their house and prayed for them and asked God to forgive them and to save them. And Ray came here and he told me one night, I feel bad. Isn't that right, Ray? I said, what's wrong? Aren't you saved? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked God to save you? And he said, no, but somebody else did it for me. Isn't that, no, that's what you told me. You know that I have had people ask God to save me as I was down at an altar for me, and it didn't work, did it? And it's not going to work for you either. You have to come to God yourself and say, Lord, forgive me and save my soul. He'll do it. He'll do it. Well, are you saved or not? You know now whether you are or not. If you haven't asked God to save you, you're not saved. Simple as that. That's plain, isn't it? How many of you are married? Come on, raise your hands. How many of you here are married? How many of you here are not married? Raise your hand. That means all you little ones too. If you're not married, raise your hand. Did you have any kind of an idea? You knew whether you're married or not, didn't you? Now you ought to know whether you're saved or not, because the Bible tells you plainly whether you're saved or not. How many have a driver's license? You know that, don't you? Huh? You had to do something to get a driver's license, didn't you? I'm going to tell you how something. You have to come to God and ask Him to forgive you and save you to be saved. Somebody else can't do it for you. Now, if you're not saved today, you can ask God to save you, forgive you, and He'll do it. If you would like to serve the Lord in your life and worship Him the way He wants you to, we give you an invitation to join this church and follow the Lord in service. Whatever you need this morning, God can take care of it as you call upon Him. Brother Jay, what song do you have?
Verse 3 and 4. 385. I hope that if you're here this morning, there is no doubt what you're saying. And if you're saying, you ought to be happy. And if you're saved, you ought to serve the Lord. You ought to be a good deacon for God. And if you're lost, you ought to be saved. You're going to have to be in one category or the other. Fish riders don't work. Just get the facts there.